I would draw your attention to that last verse of Romans chapter 6. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus, who is the Christ, and He's our Lord. My subject this morning is quite simply, God gives eternal life. Here are two very powerful statements. The wages of sin is death. What is sin? Well, we read in 1 John, sin is the transgression of God's law. It is therefore rebellion against our Creator. Never think lightly of any sin. The word sin in and of itself means missing the mark. You take a bullseye, a target. Perhaps you're shooting a gun or an arrow. And if you don't hit the bullseye, you've missed that mark. That mark that God demands is perfection. And anything outside of perfection is sin. It is missing the mark of perfection. I watched a little bit of golf yesterday. Just did turn it on and see what the score was. And that was all I had time to do. But one of the announcers said, and I've heard them say this before, he hit a perfect putt. It just didn't go in. Well, if it had been the perfect putt, it would have gone in. It would have found its mark. You see, all of us by nature, we always miss the mark of perfection. And yet this is what God demands. God's a holy God. He doesn't say do the best you can, but if you miss the mark, it's okay. I'll excuse you. Just put forth a good effort, and in the end, I'll let you into my holy heaven. No, God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye perfect, for I am perfect. I say again that this matter of sin is, it is the transgression, the violation of God's law. Now, how can we sum up the law of God? Well, the master said this, and he was speaking to a man who summed it up this way, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Anything less than that is sin. You may wonder, well, I wonder if I've sinned today. Wonder no more. Anything less than perfection, perfect motives. What was your reason for coming here today? Well, it's the thing to do on Sunday. That's sin. Your motive must be, and my motive must be, and purely this, to honor God. To worship God, to exalt our Lord Jesus, the only Savior of sinners, to magnify the Spirit of grace who reveals the Son of God to us. And yet if most of us are honest, that probably wasn't even in our thoughts. The Scripture tells us, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever it is, do all for the glory of God. And if we don't do everything solely and wholly for the glory of God, it's sin. And so now I would ask you, how many times have you sinned today? And I would answer honestly, for all of us, we have no idea. We have no idea. Because this matter of sin is transgressing God's law that says, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Do you love Him that way? And love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love your neighbor that way? And all of us, if we're honest, we have to hang our heads in shame and say, I don't love God that way, and I don't love my neighbor that way. It's sin. And I know some people speak of big sins and little sins, white lie and a black lie. Any deviation from perfection is sin. Now, I give you this, I grant you this, all sins, as far as outwardly, don't have the same consequences. But all sins are against God. Whatever it is. And we know this, that the scripture says that this matter of sin, when it is finished, when it's finished with us, it brings forth death. In fact, right here it says, for the wages of sin is death. Consider wages. If you look this up, if you have a concordance, and that's a really good book to have, look up the word wages, and it will say, that which a Roman soldier received after a day's labor. You know what a wage is. You work, you expect to get paid. Well, if we go through our lives in sin, missing the mark, then there are wages to be paid to that one who is really personalized or personified in here in Romans chapter 6, that is sin, which is set forth as a king. And you're its servant. And you go through your life as a servant of sin. And you never think about righteousness. You never think about who God is. You don't really give serious consideration to how sin can be put away, how it could be atoned, how God's justice could be satisfied. You don't really give great consideration to those things. And you just live, you go on and on with your life. Maybe you throw a little bit of religion in every once in a great while. But know this, you are serving a ruthless king, an awful tyrant. And that tyrant is sin. And as our brother read this passage of Scripture, it talks about how that before conversion, we were servants of sin. Sin was our king. Sin was our master. And the master always pays off. He always pays wages. And the wages of serving this cruel tyrant is death. And so we read that sin, when it's finished, when it's done with you, that's an awful king. After you've served Him all your life, if you die and you're still serving that cruel master of sin, here's what He pays you. Death. Death. That first statement is a heavy statement. There's no good news there. That's bad news. Just keep on going like you're going. Keep on serving this awful king of sin. And in the end, there'll be wages which you'll have to pay. I was preparing this yesterday, and I was reading. Of course, I always try to do quite a bit of reading, and I'm running lots of cross references in the Word of God. I came to this conclusion that, and I'll give you my, not translation, but transliteration of this verse. Work your whole life for sin, and here's what your pension is going to be. It will be death. But God's gift, real life, life that never ends. This is a spiritual life. This is an everlasting life. This is an eternal life. God's gift is eternal life. But this gift always comes through one channel, through one conduit. Jesus Christ, our Lord. You all know what a pension is. Some of you are enjoying a pension. You work for a company, the state, the railroad, or Board of Education, whatever it is. And you look forward to that day when you will walk out the door and say, no more early morning hours for me, or late night hours, whatever the case may be. I'm retiring because I've got a pension. I'm going to be paid wages. I'll keep getting money. I'm going to get wages, even though my labors for the company are over. Well, now here's the way it works. When you work, you labor for sin. You labor all your life, and then you die, and your labor is ended. But then it's time for the pension. Then it's time for the wages. And it's death. What kind of death? A death that never ends. An existence that is separation from God, separation from our Lord Jesus Christ, separation from everything that is good and noble and holy and righteous. It is separation from Him who is life. It's an existence in hell that will never end. And that's your pension if you die in your sins. That ought to get your attention. Oh, what a cruel taskmaster this sin is. But let me give you some good news. But the gift of God. Now notice that this cruel taskmaster of sin, it pays what you've earned. You'll get what you deserve. You'll actually draw your wages from sin which is death. But that which God gives is just that, a gift. You can't earn it. You can't merit it. To Simon the sorcerer in the book of Acts, Peter said, you thought that the gift of God could be purchased. You thought you could buy it. And many people think the gift of God, which is eternal life, salvation in Christ Jesus, many people think, well, I have to earn that. As long as you entertain that kind of thinking, it is obvious you're still the servant of sin. Because that which God gives, you can't earn it. You can't merit it. He gives. He gives eternal life. And He always gives it. And there are no exceptions to this. He always gives this eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, I have no difficulty making this statement. If you perish in your sins, if you remain all through your life a servant of sin, you will perish, you will pay the wages, which is death, and it will be all your fault. We got to preach it that way. I know there are some people who don't want sovereign grace people to ever speak about man's responsibility. But we're responsible to our God. Now don't confuse responsibility with ability. We lost the ability to repent and believe in Adam's transgression, but that doesn't relieve us of the responsibility. You read sometime at your leisure. In fact, let's just turn over. Look at the book of Proverbs chapter 1. I don't know the reason why people, sovereign grace people, of course, I don't know why they deny man's responsibility. I preached a message on this portion of Scripture one time, and a gentleman in the congregation to which I was preaching, he was sitting about halfway back, not here, about halfway back on this side. He just got up and he turned his back. He said, I don't have to listen to this. Man's responsibility. You're responsible to God. You're going to answer to God. Don't you understand that? You're going to stand before God. You can't blame God. You go through life a servant of sin. You can't blame God. He gave you a preacher. He gave you a Bible. He gave you people who prayed for you and were concerned about you. But you weren't interested. You weren't interested. Look at here in Proverbs chapter 1. This is a solemn passage. Look at verse 24. Proverbs 1:24. God says, because I have called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you've said it not all my counsel. I told you salvation's by grace in Christ. Come to my Son. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But you wouldn't hear my counsel. This is your own unwillingness and rebellion. You would none of my reproof. I called and you wouldn't listen. He calls through the preacher. He calls through his word. He calls through providential experiences. and you just pretty much turn a deaf ear. God says, now look at verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I won't answer. Read in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, at the judgment they'll call on the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of the wrath of the Lamb of God. Our message is look to the Lamb of God. Believe on the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God smitten for sinners. This is the Savior you need. Look and live. But you're not looking. You're not looking. Why don't you look? God says, now it's going to come a day when they shall call on me, I'm not going to answer. They shall seek me early, won't find me. For that they hated knowledge. They heard the gospel. They heard of Christ crucified. They heard of salvation by grace. But you kept on thinking, these people kept on thinking, there's something I got to do. I want to work. I want merit. I want my wages. Well, you're going to get your wages. It's death. Look at verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Oh, my dear friend, beg God that He won't leave you to your own unwillingness. Ask God, don't leave me in my rebellion. Lord, do something for me. Like that Fanny Crosby song, while on others thou art calling, don't pass me by. Don't leave me like this. Look at verse 30. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices. That's just another way of saying, they're going to get wages. Amen. Go ahead and take your wages. Here's your pension. Forever in hell. Don't deny responsibility. Like I say, it's not the same as ability. We lost the ability, but you are responsible to God who is sovereign. You will answer to God. Do you understand that? You must stand before the judge someday, the judge who judges righteously, who demands righteousness. You must stand before Him. And if you stand before Him dressed in your filthy rags of unrighteousness, He will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Collect your wages. Oh my. Oh my. I don't want you to hear that. You're responsible to believe. And somebody might object, say, but Jim, if people don't have the ability to believe, then they have no responsibility to believe. Surely God can't expect a man to do what is impossible for him to do. There you go, turning to human reasoning. That's logic. That's logical. If you don't repent, you're going to perish. God help you. If you don't believe on Christ, you will perish. God help you. Yes, some deny the responsibility of everyone to believe the gospel of Christ. And then others deny that God is absolutely sovereign, that he has to give the gift of eternal life. And he not only has to give the gift, he has to make you willing to be thankful and receive the gift. See, let's put it this way. Somebody asked me recently, and whatever you want to believe on this is your business, but somebody asked me, do you believe in double predestination? Some men are predestinated to heaven and some men are predestinated to hell. Well, first of all, you don't read that language in the Bible. In fact, as you read about predestination in the Word of God, it always pertains to God's people. And whether we can understand or comprehend these things or not, it still remains true. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Don't deny responsibility, and don't deny the also reality of the necessity of the sovereign free gift of grace to sinners through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Oh, may God make you willing. We read in the Psalms, yes, thy people shall be willing. Oh, God, make me willing. Oh, God, break my will. Oh, God, break my stubbornness. Make me willing to be saved by grace alone, through the doing and the dying, through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, do something for me. Oh, that ought to be our cry. I don't want wages of sin. I don't want them for you either. What kind of pastor would I be if I said, well, you know, let come what may. What kind of preacher would I be if I didn't warn you? We're admonished in the Word of God to warn people. Warn people. Oh, God, help me to believe. Yes, our text says over here in Romans chapter 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. One is wages that's merited or earned. The other is a gift that's freely given based on the merits and the work of somebody else, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, wages is what you earn, a gift. And the Holy Spirit is very careful to make this distinction. A gift is that which God freely, sovereignly, effectually gives. And what is it that God gives? Well, what's the opposite of death? It is eternal life. Well, when is this eternal life given to us? Well, really, it was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9 says that. And it was earned for us, this salvation, this forgiveness, this righteousness. It had to be earned. It can't be earned by you. But there's somebody who worked for it. That's our Lord Jesus. His bloody death That was the demand of God's justice. Death for sin. And be sure you understand this. And this is true with every last one of you and all of you who are watching. In your case, there will be death on account of sin. Amen. Now somebody's going to die. Because that's the wages of sin. Somebody's going to die. It's going to be you or a suitable God approved substitute. So, well, Jim, how can I know Christ died for me? There's only one way you can know. I'm telling you, there's only one way you can know Christ died for you. If you believe Him. Do you believe Him? Have you given up all efforts to save yourself, to put away your sins? Do you look to Jesus Christ alone, God's Lamb, that He killed on a cross? Divine justice dealt so severely with Him. And God was satisfied with His death. Justice was served. And the only way you can know that He who died and rose again and ascended back to heaven, the only way you know He died for you is if you believe Him. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All of it. I take my stand on the rock, don't you? Because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know the faith to believe Him? That's a gift. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9. For by grace He is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Our Lord said to that woman at the well, the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you drink the water of life that I give you. Oh God, help you to drink of the water of life. Christ is the water of life. And no wonder that we read in the book of 2 Corinthians. Thanks be unto God. Not only for eternal life, which is the gift of God. Not only for the water of salvation that we drink. Not only for faith. Thank God for the unspeakable gift. Our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise You, Father. We thank You. Here's a verse of Scripture that is applicable, either one statement or the other, to everybody under the sound of my voice. Dying to sins, there's the pension you can look forward to. Die looking to Christ, believing Christ only. Eternal life. Oh, I like the sound of that. Let's sing a closing song. Let's get our song books and turn to 280 moment by moment.